Father, we're grateful for the opportunities we've had today to be in your word, thankful to be with other believers and just to share in common in our salvation, and just thankful for Jesus Christ, our Lord, for the things that he's accomplished on our behalf. We just ask now that your spirit would be the one who teaches, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so today we're picking back up. Now we're doing this little summer series where we're looking at Greek phrases, or phrases in our Greek New Testament that pivot off of the preposition ek, which just has the derived meaning of out from. And so we've looked at a number of these phrases in our Greek New Testament, and we've seen some that describe out from as to place, out from of the midst of a group. And we're going to see it used in the sense of out from as to source. And so we've looked at a couple already. We've looked at the phrase in the Greek New Testament dealing with out from dead ones, out from the midst of dead ones, dealing with Christ's resurrection and our imputed position in Christ. Last time we looked at out from the heaven, and then sometimes out from the heavens, as plural, denoting out from as to place. And I originally was considering doing a second message pivoting on this phrase in the Greek New Testament, out from heaven or out from the heavens. But I decided to move on past that. I thought Pastor Dave might be doing a message today based on the Ascension, and he'd be covering some of those same passages. But we may come back and hit on a couple of those if we end up doing a message on out from the right hand. But today, what I wanted to do is we're going to go back, and some of these I covered in the introduction to this series, but we find a phrase in our Greek New Testament, out from God, or out from the God. Primarily, we find it with God, use it with the article of the God, of the Father. And so we'll see here the Father to be the source of a few things. And so we want to look at this phrase, and it'll set us up for our message next week dealing with out from faith as the source. And so we get into some things dealing with our present tense salvation. And so this will kind of help set that message up. And so we have 36 occurrences approximately in the New Testament of this phrase in our Greek New Testament. We're not going to be able to look at all of those, obviously. But as we do look at some of these will be familiar verses to you. But we want to consider some of these. Let me take you into the book of John, and let's go back to the 8th chapter here. And for time's sake, I'm not going to develop the context, but you see that Jesus has been speaking with these Jews in 8:32 is where he said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then he talks about indentured servitude to the sin nature, and that's what in the future they can be freed from, serving the sin nature as a slave there. And you see that in 8:34. And then you see that the Son is going to be the person who's going to be able to deliver that freedom in 8:36. Now, when we get over to chapter 8, verse 42, I'll just pick up. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came out from the God." And so he says, "Neither came I of myself," or just in the Greek, it's just "from myself." It's apo. "Neither came I from myself, but he sent me." And so here we see him speaking of coming forth out from the God as the source. And the Father is the one who sent him. Now let me just go ahead and read verse 43 and verse 44, because we'll end up coming back to this context. He says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." Then he goes on in verse 44, and this would be pretty direct. He says, "You are out from the father of you, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from not the beginning, but a beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, not a lie, but the lie. When he speaks the lie, he speaks out from his own things. So you have this ek preposition. He speaks out from his own things. For he is a liar and the father of it. And so we will come back to that context. But I want to turn, because he said he came out from the Father as to source. The Father sent him. And so the Father was the source of him coming, but of course the Father wasn't the source of his beginning, because he was God the Son, equal with God. And so I just want to just illustrate that so there's no confusion on that. Let's just go back to John, or go forward into John chapter 17. I'm going to pick up in verse 8. And here the Lord is communicating with the Father, and he's speaking of his disciples here in John 17, 8. He says, "For I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me, and they received them and have known surely," just truly, "they have experientially known truly that I came out from thee." Now, this "out from thee" isn't this isn't the ek preposition. This is from alongside. This is para, from alongside thee. And so that I came out from alongside of thee is kind of the idea. You have an ek preposition and a Greek compound word prior to that, but he says para, from alongside of thee. "And they believed that thou didst send me." And so I just wanted to illustrate that. Now, like I said, we'll be back into John 8 here in a little bit. But before we get back there, I just want to go through some of these verses that we find this phrase in our Greek New Testament, "out from God," or "out from the God." And when we look at some of these verses, we find out through God's Word that God is the source of the Christian's new birth. And so we're in John. Let's go back to the chapter 1 in the book of John. And let's pick up in verse 11. It says, "He came unto his own," and it's in the neuter, "his own things, and his own people received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he," not power, but authority, or it's our authority word, "to become not the sons of God, but the children of God." The born ones of God, in other words, the born ones, the children of God. "Even to them that believe on his name." And so a name has the idea of character. Now in verse 13 is the verse that I wanted. And so we have a passive here. It says, "which were born." And so this passive, it's a passive, "which were born not of bloods." It's plural. And these are ek prepositions, so they have the derived meaning of "out from." "Which were born not out from bloods, nor out from the will of flesh," this anarthrous quality of flesh, "nor out from the will of man." So we're talking about their birth, going back to the new birth to become children of God. It wasn't out from as the source these things, bloods, the will of flesh, nor the will of man. But, and so here he uses the "but," which indicates a strong contrast. "But we're born," and I'm just going to fill the verb back in here so you can see it, "but we're born out from the God as to source." And so here's a very clean statement of God being the source of one's, of the new birth. And so it is anarthrous here, born out from God. And so here it's emphasizing deity. And we're born out from God. as to source. Now we're going to see some more uses of ek preposition with God, but let's go on our way to the stuff in Romans 2:29. That was a big motorhome that just went by. That's everybody. Look, I told them I was going to give them a commentary if we saw the deer again. Okay, so let's see. I could back up for context, but let's go ahead and see this. I'm going to go ahead and just follow the verse here, and you can kind of gather the context. Well, let's pick up in verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one. It's in the King James, it reads inwardly, just the idea of in secret. And circumcision is that of the heart. And so now we get down here and we have a decision to make on this. Is it in a quality of spirit and not in letter? So the circumcision is in spirit. And so if we took it that way, we would just leave it a small s, speaking of in man's human spirit. And I know some translations translate the end preposition by here, by this, and so then you would make this a capital S, by the Spirit and not by the letter. Either way is true, but I leave the small s here. The circumcision is of the heart in a quality of spirit. That's where circumcision, the new birth, takes place. Remember, spirit is a smaller part of the heart. And not in the letter, whose praise is not, and here we have our ek preposition, whose praise is not out from men, but out from the God. And so whose praise is out from the God. Now let's, from here we'll go back into 1 John, and we'll go back to 1 John 3:9. And so in our King James, this verse starts with a whosoever. And again, this is in the Greek. This would just be everyone or just all the ones, if you wanted to translate it that one. But everyone, having been born out from the God. And so here we have our phrase in our Greek New Testament. All the ones having been born out from the God. And so it's in a perfect passive participle. So this new birth has abiding results. Passive, someone else is doing it. And so that's why I translated it to everyone or all the ones having been born out from the God as to source. Do not, and the King James reads, commit sin. Or just, and the idea is it's an iterative concept here. They don't habitually or continuously sin. For his seed abides in him. And he cannot, the idea again, habitually sin or continuously sin, because he is born out from the God. And so there you see it two times used of the Christian being born out from the God. Now the second one, he says it again, it's a perfect passive indicative verb there. And so because he is born with an abiding result, or he's in a state of having been born out from the God. Now let me just read verse 10 and verse 11 here also. It says, in this, or by this, the children of God are manifest. They're made plain. And the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not out from God, the God as the source. And so again, this is just a present active. So all the ones not doing righteousness, or anyone not doing righteousness, is not out from the God, is basically what it says. Neither is he that is not loving his brother. And so, as we work in the New Testament, we see one of the distinguishing characteristics of a child of God is the ability and the act of agape, loving the brethren. And so here in John says in verse 11, "For this is the message that you heard from a beginning, that we should love one another." And so what beginning is the Apostle John talking about? He's going back, I believe, to the new commandment. Let's go back and turn to the new commandment. Let me see here. I will come back to 1 John, so you can hold your hand there. But go back to John chapter 13 and verse 34. And we all know the new commandment. But I want to tie this to verse 35. And you can see that this is the thing that was going to distinguish them as his true disciples or believers, is the fulfilling of the new commandment. And so in John 13:34, here the Lord said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Now, if we just put a period there, it wouldn't be new. It could be, you know, the word new, new in kind. But really, it's the following words that he said that really distinguish this from anything that could have happened prior to the work he would accomplish on the cross and the sending of the Holy Spirit. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And the word that they translated "as," it just means "just as." "Just as I have loved you." Now remember, he's the God-man. And so the kind of love that he loved was divine quality of love, agape love. And so the new commandment is to love with a divine quality of love. Humans have not been capable of doing that until Christ's cross work, and that cross work could be applied to the human, and the Holy Spirit was sent to indwell the believer. And so now as we're filled by the Spirit, we have access to the fruit from the Spirit, and one of the aspects of the fruit from the Spirit is love. Now, he goes on and he says in verse 35, "By this, all they," this is all men, just "all they know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And so this is something that's going to distinguish true believers from unbelievers, is to love with Christ's quality of love, divine quality of love, that other-centered divine love. Now, let's go back into the 1 John, and we want to turn to chapter 4, and we're going to pick up in verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 7. And you're going to see out from the God used in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and two times in verse 6. So we have quite a few of this phrase in our Greek New Testament found in this section that we're going to look at. And so in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John writes here, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." And the word "try" here has the idea to test for approval. To test for approval, or prove the spirits, whether they are out from the God as the source. "Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." He says, "By this," or hereby, the King James translates, just "by this, we experientially know the spirit of the God. Every spirit that confesses has the idea to say the same thing, that Jesus Christ is come in flesh, is out from the God as the source." And so it is articular there in the Greek. Now in verse 3, he says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in flesh." And let me just take a... "is not out from the God as the source." And so every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is not out from the God as the source. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, just against Christ. "Whereof you have heard that it should come." And just literally that it's coming. "And even now is already in the world." And so the spirit of Antichrist against Christ. Now in verse 4, very sharp contrast, he says, "You," or "ye," "you all are out from the God." You are out from the God as to source, little children. And so he uses this diminutive term, little children, little born ones, "and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now I want to pause here because we have this word "and have overcome them," this word "overcome." And so the idea here, this overcomer, I want to go back and look at a couple things dealing with the overcomer. I want you to hold your... We're going to come back to 1 John chapter 4 there, but turn over to chapter 5. In verse 4. And so the Greek root for overcomer is where we get where they get the word for a shoe company here in Portland called Nike, which just means a victory or victor. Now in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 it says, "For whatsoever is born," let's get this right, "for everyone having been born out from the God overcomes the world." And so here we have our phrase in the Greek again, that everyone having been born out from God overcomes the world. "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And so now this is important, especially if we get into Revelation, we want to understand who the overcomer is. The overcomer is the believer. Let me just look at a couple of verses in Revelation in chapter 3. In Revelation 3:5, and so remember, John wrote both for 1 John and Revelation. In Revelation 3:5, "He that is just the one overcoming, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels." Let's go on up to 3:12. Just literally, "The one that is overcoming, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out from the heaven." Let's see, is that... it's out from the heaven, so it's a specific heaven, "which comes down out from the heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." And so he's speaking of believers here. The believer is the overcomer. Let's go to one more place. Let's go to Revelation 3:21. "To the one that is overcoming, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." And so there's a couple other places we can go, but you get the idea. So I just wanted to touch on that. Now, as we turn back to 1 John chapter 4, and just to get the running start at verse 5, I'll read verse 4 again. Ye are out from the God, little born ones, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5. They are out from the world as the source. Therefore speak they out from the world, and the world hears them. And so those that are out from the world, they speak out from the world as the source, and the world hears them. Now, this is one of the things that distinguish a Christian from an unbeliever, or should. Let me turn, we'll come back to 1 John 4, 5 in a second. But let's turn over to 1 John 5, 18. And verse 19. It says, we intuitively know that whosoever, or just the one, having been born out from the God as the source, sinneth not. He does not habitually sin or continuously sin. But he, or the one, having been born out from the God, keeps himself, and that the wicked one, and so here the evil one, speaking of Satan, the evil one, touches him not. And so this is a verse you would go to show people that Satan does not have authority to even touch a believer. And so you can just deal away with all of that nonsense of actual Christians being possessed by a demon. It's not allowed. It's not permissible. It's not possible. Now in verse 19, he goes on, he says, and we intuitively know that we are out from the God. And so, as to source. And the whole world lies in the wicked one, the Paniros one, the evil one, the malignantly evil one. The whole world lies, and this idea of lies is to lay down. And so here you see that the world system, it's like Satan's little baby that he rocks to sleep. And but here John is just punching this again by saying we intuitively know that we are out from the God as to source. And so this is interesting when you think about that, because when you talk to Christians or professing Christians, and they talk, a lot of them will talk about themselves being the source. There's a lot of I involved in their past tense salvation and their present tense salvation. You know, they invited Jesus in their heart. But here, when we look at this, we see that the God here, speaking of the Father, as the source of our new birth. Now, as we turn back to 1 John chapter 4, let's go back and pick up in verse 6. Again, John is just really punching this through this, and we're not going to even be able to hit all the verses he does this, but he says, we are out from the God as the source. He that experientially knows God hears us. Now I want to pause there, because this hears us. John includes himself as he's talking about hearing, to hear and respond. He that is experientially knows God hears us, hears and responds to us. And so he's talking about these truths that he's laying out. And so I want to go back into the book of John. We'll stop at John chapter 10 and verse 27. And I just want to pick this. And so here Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And I know them. And so I experientially know them. And they follow me. And they follow me. Now, as we go back to John 8, I said we were going to be back in that context. We left off in verse 44. And so here he's speaking to these Jews. And he has already told them that they were out from their father, the devil, in 8:44. Now in verse 45, he says, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." He's being just straight up with them. And then they don't believe him. And so they're offended. He says, "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Now he's going to give them some more truth in verse 47. He says, "He that is out from the God hears the utterances of God." And the King James translates the words, but it's harema. It's the word that just means a portion of an utterance. So he that is out from God hears. And the idea of hears and responds to God's words. "You therefore hear them not." So he's explaining to them why they have no, they physically hear them, but they don't have comprehension. So they're not hearing and responding. He says, "You therefore hear them not." You not hear and respond to them because you are not out from the God as to source. And so, again, here he's giving some evidence that they need to have a new birth. They're going to have a new birth where they're going to have a different father, and God would be the source of the new birth. So now let's go back to 1 John in chapter 4. And we come back to this concept of loving one another of the same kind. And let's finish verse 6. And so, "For we are out from the God. He that experientially knows God hears us. He that is not out from God does not hear us." So he does not hear and respond. Out from this, it's translated in the King James "hereby," but just out from this, we experientially know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now he's going to go on to this, back to the concept of love, this distinguishing characteristic of a true believer. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another." And one another is another of the same kind. Let us love one another. Now he's going to explain here, just in case you want to think you can do this in your own strength. He says, "For love is out from the God as the source." Very important to pick that up in your Greek, because a lot of people will think, okay, I know what the new commandment is, love one another. They don't understand. God has to be the source of that. Remember, I can go back and show you that God previously prepared your good works. And here you see God's even the source of agape love. So only a spirit-filled Christian has the potential to direct agape love. And that should be directed at another Christian, another of the same kind. And so let me just finish reading this. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is out from the God as the source. And everyone that is loving is born out from the God and experientially knows the God." And so I'm just emphasizing the article there. And so when he says love is out from the God as the source, and everyone loving is in the state of having been born out from the God. And so he says it again in this perfect passive participle. He's identifying that this perfect, something that's happened in the past with abiding results, with present and future results. The one having been born out from the God. And it's a passive. Somebody else brings about the new birth. And so the one loving is one having been born out from the God and experientially knows the God. Now, we've been dealing with the new birth, which we refer to as regeneration. We're born again. And we also have some verses, though, that deal with, that show us the Father was our source of being in Christ. And so let's take a look at a verse that emphasizes that. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you're not going to see it in verse 29, we're going to have to change the translation here to reflect the Greek, but there's not a textual problem. And so just a little context in verse 27, it says God has not chosen or has chosen the foolish things of the world. In verse 29, we just read that no flesh should not glory but boast in his presence. And they translated this in his presence, and I'm not sure exactly why they did that, but in the Greek, it's just real clean. It's before the God. And so that no flesh should boast before the God, speaking of the Father. It's articular in the Greek. Now, this little ek preposition is going to help you see that the Father was the source of you being in your position in Christ. It says, but of him. And it's ek. But out from him, going back to God, is the antecedent. But out from him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that is boasting, let him boast in the Lord. And so out from him are ye in Christ Jesus. So again, we get the other side of the coin. From regeneration, we have spirit baptism. We can go back to 1 Corinthians 12:13 and see how we got into Christ. And that's by spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit immerses the believer into Christ. Now I want to just go to one verse where we have this phrase in our Greek New Testament, out from God, and it's out from the God. And it's in 1 Corinthians 2:12. And we see we receive the Spirit out from the God in 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is out from the God. And so they just translated of, but it's the ek preposition, out from the God as the source. And so when we talk about the Spirit which is out from the God as the source, that's the Holy Spirit. Now the King James did not do this in the translation, but that second Spirit is a reference to the Holy Spirit, so it should be capitalized. And so we have received the Spirit which is out from the God as the source. And then he goes on and he says that, or just in order that, we might know the things that are graciously given unto us by God. Hupo, directly by God. And it's, again, it's an article of here, the God, directly by the God. Now, let me just go back up to verse 11. I suppose I could have read verse 11 first, but we'll take it in this order. It says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. And so this is how the Christian is going to know the things of God, is by the Holy Spirit. This is how the Christian is going to hear and understand things related back to the Christian life, living by grace, and so on. Now, if our new birth is out from the God as the source, if our position in Christ is out from the God as the source, obviously some of the things related to our position in Christ would be out from God as the source. And we find that is the case when it comes down to righteousness. And so tie this together. Let's stop in 2 Corinthians 5:21. So in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, has made him, Christ, to be a quality of sin for us, on behalf of us, who experientially knew no sin, that we might be made, or just become, not the righteousness, but a quality of righteousness of God in him, in Christ. And so we can go to other passages, and we can see that in Christ we've been imputed Christ's righteousness. So before God, we're righteous in Christ. Now, this is the righteousness that Paul wanted to experience in his Christian life. So as you turn to Philippians chapter 3, we want to look at 3, 9 through 11 here. And we find this righteousness is out from the God. So as Paul writes this, Paul is in Christ. That's something that's imputed him. Paul wants, though, to impute or to count to be so what God counts to be so. So he wants what God counts to be so, to be his own reality. And so in Philippians 3:9, Paul says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which man can have a quality of his own righteousness, though not before God. And he says, not having my own righteousness, which is out from law. And so it's anarthros, any quality of law. If you're living by any quality of law and you're doing it well, then you're earning your own righteousness. But it's not before God, it'll just be before men. And this isn't the kind of righteousness that Paul wants. He wants the righteousness that's associated with his position in Christ. And so he goes on and he says, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is out from God. And so it's anarthros here, so it's emphasizing deity. The righteousness which is out from God based on faith. That's the righteousness that Paul wanted. That's why he wanted to be found in him. You can't get any better than your position in Christ. So mentally, that's where Paul wants to be. He wants to be that imputed position to be his reality. And so that's why he's going to go on in verse 10. He says, that I may experientially know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And so Paul, to live out resurrection life, he's going to have to count Christ's death and burial his own. And it's being made conformable there is a passage, by the way. Now, when it comes to the Christian life, God is still the source of, it should be the source of our living out the Christian life, and it's not something that we're capable or competent of ourselves to do. And so independence of God is a danger to everyone's Christian life. And when we get back into 2 Corinthians, when we get into the third chapter, Paul's contrasting the two covenants. And under one covenant, the Mosaic covenant, one's own sufficiency, competency would come out from oneself. But that's not the case in the new covenant. And so it makes no sense to go back and to live or attempt to live under the old covenant. That's not for us. And so Paul is going to demonstrate some things. Now let me go back into 2 Corinthians chapter 2 real quick. And let's just read and let's pick up in verse 14. And Paul says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor, the odor, the experiential knowledge concerning him or of him through us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor or odor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are an odor out from death into death. And to the other, an odor," or I'm going to translate savor here, "an odor out from life into life. And who is sufficient for these things?" He asks this question, who is sufficient, the idea of competent of these things. Now in verse 17, he goes on, he says, "For we are not as of many who corrupt the word of God, who are peddling the word of God or hawking the word of God for profit, but as of or out from sincerity, but as out from God as to source. In the sight of God speak we in Christ." So here you have these ties to one's position in Christ. Now in 2 Corinthians 3:3, we find out that Christ is written in the hearts of believers by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to move up to verse 5. And he says, "Not that we are competent of ourselves or just from ourselves to reckon or to think or to impute anything as of out from ourselves as to source." He says, "But our sufficiency," or the idea of competence, "is out from God." Our competence is out from the God who also made us competent. And then, unfortunately, the King James wasn't consistent in their translation. And they said, "who has made us able ministers." It comes from the same root that I've been translating competent, or we find translated sufficient. "Who also made us competent ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit." And so he's going to explain. He says, "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit makes alive." And so again, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. And so the King James didn't do this, but the Spirit here, referring to the Holy Spirit, should be capitalized. But the Spirit, "for the letter killeth, but the Spirit makes alive." And so our competence, though, in living out the Christian life, it's not out from ourselves. Our competence is out from the God. Now, Paul's going to go on and he's going to continue to contrast the two covenants. But he's going to come down to these verses that really require one putting position into practice and the Holy Spirit's involvement. In verse 17, he says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit." And so here we have a reference of the Holy Spirit being the Lord, the divine master. And so the Lord is that Spirit. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit here. And where the Spirit of or from the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There's going to be freedom where the Holy Spirit is and He's Lord, He's the Master. There's going to be freedom from the sin nature. When the Holy Spirit's allowed to be the divine master in one's spiritual life, He always wins. So the sin nature is, there's freedom from the sin nature. There's going to be freedom from any quality of law, because those that are led by the Spirit are not under any quality of law. Galatians 5:18. And then there's also freedom or liberty to reflect out the indwelling Christ. And so in verse 18, we all with unveiled face, reflecting as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed. The King James reads, changed. It's the idea of transformed, where we get our word metamorphed, into the same image from one quality of glory to another quality of glory, even as by the Spirit, and I would translate it from the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who's transforming. We don't transform ourselves. As we reflect out Christ, we are being transformed, and it's by the Spirit from the Lord. Anyway, that will set us up for our message next week, where we're going to take a look at the phrase in the Greek New Testament, out from faith. Out from faith. So we want to talk about faith, where that faith comes from, and how that applies to our Christian lives. Let's close. Father, we're grateful as we relate to your word. We can see these truths, and we're thankful to be beneficiaries of the new birth. We're thankful for what you have accomplished in our lives, and we're thankful that we've received the Holy Spirit, who's able to apply the benefits of Christ's cross work to us. And we're just thankful as we have the potential to be found in him, living in that righteousness that we have from you, that we have in Christ, and that potential that we have to be living out that new life because the Son indwells us. May your Spirit help us with appreciating these truths, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.